On this week's episode, we talk about Fall Guy.
And other pop culture news.
We come to you, as we so often do, just having left the theater, where we saw Fall Guy, starring Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt. And it was a delight.
Yes, it was as fun as the trailer suggests. Mm-hmm. It was full of action. It was action-packed. It was funny. It was entertaining. Mm-hmm. Gosling is really funny.
He really is.
As he proved before on Barbie. And I don't think I've seen him in other comedies. Oh, no, the Crazy Stupid Love. With Emma
Stone.
Yeah. And I guess a little bit on La La Land. La La Land, not so much. But, well, he's funny. He does a terrific job. One of the things that I loved about this movie right away is that if you watch the trailer and you got interested in see the movie, you're going to see the movie and you're going to realize that the trailer tricks you. The plot exposed in the trailer is not quite what happens in the movie, and I hope it was a trick and not like they shot the movie and
it's in the trailer
and then they changed it for whatever reason, because it happens. It happens. They go to focus groups, they reshoot, they do ADR, and they changed the end and they changed the plot. And I hope that was not the case. I hope they actually hid the plot of the movie on the trailer by you know doing something different. But again, it's a trailer. It's a different company that does. They make the trailer based on the footage they receive from the director and the producers, and like there's some. On Golden Compass, there's a scene where the girl, what's her name? Media? No. Talia? Tulia? Valentina? No, that's the name of the mother. Anyways.
I forgot.
She holds a knife. She's in the North Pole, whatever. And with the kids, and she holds a knife and like says something like, if you one more step and you die. It's very dramatic, I can't remember, but it's very cool. And that scene never made to the movie.
Sad.
Yeah, and it happens more often than not. And this one is different. What is in the trailer, anyways, I'm not gonna spoil, but I thought it was really cool. And after you watch the movie, you might get a laugh out of the trailer for what happens in the movie and for what they did to the trailer. It's really interesting.
The whole movie is very is very meta. There's, because it's a movie about making a movie, kind of, there's, besides being having a great love story, being full of wonderful action sequences and being very funny, it's also kind of a big behind the scenes and definitely a big tribute to stunt performer, like stuntman, because it's made by a former stuntman, and there's like a couple scenes that feature the stuntman. There's like some great dialogue where they talk about what these guys go through, what they have to do to pull this stuff off. There's some scenes where we actually see for real stunt people, and there's a great montage at the end during the end credits showing the actual stunt guys in the movie. And that was, I mean, as if everything else wasn't enough, this was very fun to watch.
Yeah. And then stuntmen are in high. We have some. It's David Leitch. It's not his first movie. He made several other movies. Free Guy. Free Guy, is that called? Free Guy. He did that one on Netflix, the sci-fi. Can't remember the name of that one. With Ryan Reynolds.
The time travel one.
Yeah.
Adam
Project, Project Adam.
Something like that. That was another good one.
He does so well. He directed. Mm-hmm. He's working on Deadpool. He and Ryan Reynolds, even though Disney, like, poking, messing, they're gonna try to do their best, and they deliver. They did before.
And I think there are a couple of lines in this movie that were perhaps some digs at that whole producer director relationship.
Yeah, oh, definitely. So David Leitch was a stuntman himself, mm-hmm. and again, the stuntmen are in high because you have this guy that was behind the scene getting kicked, getting punched, set on fire.
Yeah,
but he was watching and learning what was going on, so he knows how to make a movie, how to make a movie mm-hmm. good, and how to. And of course, you have other examples of that. The people behind John Wick. Now I can't remember his name. Stahelski.
Chris Daly.
Huh?
Is it Stahelski?
Stahelski.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're right.
Chris Daly.
I don't know. Let's try.
Chad Stahelski.
Oh my gosh.
Also a stuntman and did a spectacular job.
That explains so much.
Yeah. On John Wick. So stuntmen, they've been punched, they've been kicked, but they're there, mm-hmm. they're watching and they're learning. And when the turn comes, they deliver. The movie is mm-hmm. is delightful, it's fun, it's action-packed.
Mm-hmm. It's a great showcase for Ryan Gosling and his many talents. Romantic lead, action, comic, like, he covers a lot of bases.
I think it's mostly comedy because even when it's about romance, it's very funny. It's not like
it's funny, Ryan but in Gosling, like a very sweet way. It's not Ryan like the Gosling Notebook where he's notebook, like, I may be a psychopath, but also I'm in love with you. Like it's funny, but it's still just like a girl.
Yeah. There's a lot of references to other movies. They joke yes. about it, talk about the Comic-Con shot and the stuff from the industry that pretty much everybody knows in these internet days.
Mm.
It's awesome. I love it.
It was a super fun movie. I can't think of anything I would really change. It's just a lot of fun. They use their cast so well. It's clearly made by people who love what they do. There's this great line where he says, like, you're special, and because of what you're doing, we all get to be a part of something special, too.
Yeah.
Talking about making the movie, and like, there's a lot of truth to that. Like, and anyway, it's just nice to see, like, someone make a movie because they love movies, and they love these big movies, and the love for the practical effects, and, like, for all the guys behind the camera, and it's a blast.
Yeah. And that's how the industry came to be. It's like people that mm-hmm. love what they made because they loved. And we still have that out there, even though the studios mm-hmm. and woke mobs try to change for specific agendas or reasons. Mm-hmm. But the people that love make movies and make them with love, make them well. And this one is one of those. It's very fun. I mean, if you don't know anything about Fall Guy, it's not so original per se. It's actually based on a TV show of the same name, mm-hmm. with the great Lee Majors, and also known as the $6 million.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess it was mm-hmm. cheap to make a super.
I know, that seems laughable now.
Anyways,
you could barely buy a house for him at that price. Right. Now.
So it's based on the show, and in the show is exactly what the movie is. It was about stuntmen, and I guess on mm-hmm. the show it was like every week the stuntmen would get involved into, I don't know, sort of solving crimes and solving problems. In this one, they kept it tight. It's everything yeah. that's going on is about what's happening in the movie or around the movie, or things that happening mm-hmm. To people that are working on the movie. Anyways, anything else?
Nah, this is a solid movie.
Yeah.
Like 9.5 out of 10.
We hope you like Kiss, because you're gonna listen to Kiss.
Oh yeah, the soundtrack is a blast.
Quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And was it Phil Collins? Phil Collins.
Yeah.
Yeah, Phil Collins too.
Oh, yeah.
Emily Blunt singing. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'm already saying too much.
Yep.
Fall Guy mm-hmm. by David Leitch with Ryan Gosling, Emily Blunt, Winston Duke.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Hannah Waddingham.
Yeah. And many
and
more.
And Jean-Claude.
Jean-Claude.
Love that guy.
And many other talented people. It's out in the theaters.
Mm-hmm.
You can go check. because unfortunately, even though the movie is fun, the movie is not doing well at the box office. As we mentioned, as we mentioned before on previous episode. But if you want some fun, a summer movie, there's more coming. But you know, if you catched up, if you watch everything, or even if you didn't watch everything, this one is a fun one.
Yeah, put this one towards the top of your list. Yeah. It's a blast.
It's a really good date movie. You know, there's stuff for the girls, Ryan Gosling, and everything else for the boys.
It kind of reminded, okay, you know what? I enjoyed that. It kind of reminded me of The Princess Bride, and that this sort of crosses several genres. And you know how, like, The Princess Bride, the grandpa says, like, it's got everything. It's got sword fights, true love, and all this other stuff. This one kind of crosses several genres like that, and is going to be fun for everybody on, like, any occasion. You've got your true love. You've got your action sequences. You've got your comedy. Like, it's got it all. It's very fun.
I thought it was very interesting. So quick summary, but not spoiling. So they had a relationship in the past, and something happened, and then they, similar to anyone but you, we just talked about last week. But one thing that I thought was interesting on this one, because they do this like all the time. It's a cliche. It's not nothing new, but when they meet again. It's not like, no, one or both of them hate each other. There's like some resentment there, but it's like,
yeah, there's quickly, some hurt, there's some sadness,
but it's quickly solved into in an amicable way. Mm-hmm. They get like adults.
They do this cool thing where they
like adults
talk about it.
Yeah,
and like communicate. Yeah. Their feelings and why things happened. Like,
we shouldn't talk about it in front of everybody. But anyways, you should go see the movie.
But there's the comedy. Anyway.
But hey.
Really well made. Super fun.
Fall Guy is in theaters everywhere. You should go check.
Okay. On Netflix, we streamed another, unexpectedly fun movie, Unfrosted from Jerry Seinfeld.
Yes.
What the actual heck?
Which is, was no surprise. Jerry Seinfeld is a very funny guy.
He is a very funny guy. But if you come to me and say, hey, we're going to make a comedy about the origins of Pop-Tarts, I'd be like, I don't know.
That sounds funny.
we're going to make a Pop-Tart movie.
It's some people call, well, this one, again, Jerry Seinfeld wrote and directed. And acted is the first time he actually protagonized live action comedy. He was famous for his TV show. He did a documentary. Mm-hmm. He did his Cars with reality show, comedians in cars getting coffee. He did an animation B-movie, but this one is the actual. It's like after decades is the actual the first actual time that he. Is the star of a movie, and he directs, so it's exactly how he wants, and the movie is really funny. It follows the
format
of The Right Stuff. It takes place around the same time, and there's like a lot of funny people,
so many funny people. So we've got him, Jim Gaffigan, Melissa McCarthy, Amy Poehler, Jack McBriar.
Amy Poehler?
Nope. Amy Schumer.
Okay.
Wrong Amy. My apologies. Amy's involved. That would have been great, but it was Amy Schumer, and actually like a really fun role for her.
What is Amy Poehler?
It's not.
What is Amy Poehler?
Oh, Parks and Rec.
Yeah, where is she?
Where is she?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a while.
Forever.
Anyways, yeah. So, yeah, let's see, who else? Like, so many people show up. Does Fred Armisen show up at one point?
Fred Armisen shows up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he does. And there are a lot, like, people who just, like, show up for
a
minute.
Some crazy cameos of not funny people. Joan Hamm, and I forgot the name of the other guy.
Bill Burr shows up. You're never going to recognize him, though.
Yes, yeah.
Even after he told me who it was, I'm like, yeah, I know.
And it's so simple. He just has hair.
I know, but like, Bill Burr plus hair, that's a different person. Different person altogether. Anyway.
Cedric the Entertainer.
Yes, that's right. He and he wasn't
a lot. A lot of funny people. Yeah. The movie is like historical fiction, a fictionalized history, because we have Pop-Tarts. They're real. So yep. it's telling that story from I guess Jerry Seinfeld's point of view, because he a lot of people comparing this to Barbie, because it's a comedy and it's about something sort of real, surreal,
an iconic American product.
But if Barbie was Mattel's baby, they like put money to make the movie, they produced the movie, and they capitalized, they made a lot of money because of the movie. This one, Jerry didn't ask for permission for nobody, and he actually said he would think it would be fun, he would enjoy if he sued.
I can think of worse things. There are some of the details that were accurate were surprising to me. That, like, for example, both Post and Kellogg's are headquartered in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Yes,
that's a real thing. And so this whole like competition between the two, I guess really. And after that, I just sort of gave up trying to keep track of like what was accurate and what wasn't.
And there's some connection at the end of the movie. There's like explanation of what happened to this person. There's some connection to the current present history that is like quite funny.
Yeah.
But overall, the movie is really funny. Jerry is doing his thing. He's Jerry. Everybody shines.
Yes, Hugh Grant turns in a really spectacular performance.
Yes, everybody shines. It's like Netflix keeps hitting out of the park with what they make. And this one is, you know, they convinced or they let Jerry Seinfeld make a movie. Either way, it was like a $1 billion idea.
That's kind of what it feels like Netflix is doing, though. Like getting some of these creators on board and letting them just make their movies. I don't know if that's what actually is happening, but it's true what it feels like. And so we're seeing like some of Adam Sandler's best work ever. This movie, which was like so fun.
Yeah, so someone like Jerry Seinfeld is like, he doesn't need to work. He doesn't need to do anything. He still does his comedy. I guess he likes it.
But he is at that point in the career where he can do something purely because he wants to.
You know, maybe it was, you know, like, you know, Netflix is paying me enough to make it, or allowing me to make it, or vice versa, or both. Either way, everybody wins. The movie is really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. I'm not going to spoil much because it's about Pop-Tarts, and you probably know the story. And if you don't know, it's going to be even more interesting because there's some truth to it. And yeah, Unfrosted is the name of the piece, and is available on Netflix everywhere. If you want some laughs, you should check.
Lighthearted, funny times. Okay, total mood shift, but sticking with Netflix.
Another Netflix property that came to be because the big studios passed.
That's right. Another example of him. Yeah.
Is Rebel Moon series. There's two movies, or one movie in two parts. But directed, produced, written by Zack Snyder. Zack Snyder, that was passed by the studios and found a new home, like Jerry Seinfeld, like Adam Sandler, on Netflix. He made part one. He did Army of the Dead, and there's more. There's definitely more coming, and another successful partnership. And this time they brought us the conclusion.
Question
the
mark.
The end of the
this
chapter.
Could totally be, yeah.
Yeah, on this franchise, Rebel Moon. If you saw the first one, you know that there's more. The story ends on sort of a cliffhanger, and this one is a continuation that has a lot of, it's like, it's very Snyder. There's a lot of, you know, shots there, and he photographed this one, right? I think
that's
saw
right.
that
right. Yeah, yeah, he did.
He was director of photography, and like shots that are very, very inspired by classical big pieces of art. The narrative has like clearly having influences from Seven Samurai and that type of Kurosawa stories, And
but not just Seven Samurai. Like, he's drawing from other things that are, like, bigger and older than that. Like, there's just one character who shows up. We see him in the first movie, too, but by the time we see him here, he's evolved into something, like, straight out of an Arthurian legend.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way he looks, the way he talks, everything he does, like... And so there's, like, elements of that, too, with, like, kings and princesses and some of the aesthetic. Like, he's really, like, pulling hard... Joseph Campbell. It's just like a Joseph Campbell textbook.
Yes.
In all the best ways.
Yeah, and he does it really well. It's fun. It's entertaining. Mm-hmm.
It's emotional.
It has a diverse cast, but it does. It doesn't feel pushed or preached.
No, everybody just is awesome.
A woman lead also balanced and interesting. Different than what the studios do. Rebel Moon, that we probably talked about before, the Rebel Moon, there was actually a Star Wars script that Snyder wrote for Disney Lucasfilm.
Mm-hmm.
And they said...
And it's pretty clear.
And they said, nah, we don't want it. Which is sad, because what they're putting out for Star Wars is, like, if anything, mediocre.
Yeah.
If you would give a director... an author, an opportunity to come up with something new and interesting, he would deliver. But they'd rather stay with their lackeys and their minions that do whatever Kathleen Kennedy wants or Bob Iger wants, and because they're influenced by the woke mobs, the whole productions are contaminated by those ideologies, and the final product is like eh.
And failing.
But anyways, Rebel Moon Part 2, which is called
The Scargiver. Yeah.
It has a spectacular bad guy. It has some golden-hearted good guys.
Oh, yeah.
And it's awesome.
It's fantastic. It's fantastic. It's like, yeah, Seven Samurai, Return of the Jedi, King Arthur... There's some, just so much good stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's emotional. It's fantastic. It's really, really good. And by the end of this one, I really just wanted to go back and watch the first one again.
And it doesn't quite end, because things happen that it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah. Like, it's so good. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to need more of this. I need more of this.
Oh, and they basically say, hey, we have more of this.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So let's do that.
So Rebel Moon Part 2, Scargiver, is available on Netflix. Another reason for you to go to Netflix, because the movie is really good.
It's good stuff.
And there's more from Netflix.
Yes. Oh my gosh. A Man in Full. Oh, this is a weird one.
This is a series, miniseries from Netflix with Jeff Daniels. Anyone else that can mention the name? I think he's the biggest name there.
I think so. There were, like, other familiar faces. I'm probably going to kick myself a little bit later for not remembering their names.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he's really the well-known star. Everybody else you've probably seen before, but these would be maybe some of their bigger roles.
Yeah. Really, really fun show. Really, really compelling, interesting. Mm-hmm. Based on a book by Tom Wolfe. Just an interesting curiosity connection. Tom Wolfe, that wrote the book on which The Right Stuff was based. Right Stuff that inspired format for Unfrosted.
Unfrosted, yeah. Which is definitely a straight line from The Right Stuff, astronauts going to the moon, to Pop-Tarts.
Yeah.
But okay.
It's interesting because it's that whole generation that got their news, that got their information and entertainment from TV and the speed of TV, which nowadays is kind of a joke, right? With the speed of internet, the news cycles was like something is popping, is trending. Now on a weekly TV show, right? Like what's a weekly TV show? I guess we don't have weekly Saturday Night Live, for instance.
When they
make the joke. The joke is already old.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very interesting format that he chose to do the news. I mean, the history of his movie based on the way the history for the astronauts was told. But anyways, back to Tom Wolfe in Man in Full. Jeff Daniels does a terrific job. He portrays this sort of
college athlete turned businessman, like super like southern real estate tycoon.
It's a Trumpy-esque figure. He's like super rich, but he's in trouble.
But is he super rich? Because he also is like $1 billion in debt.
Yes. But it's one of those things that if it pays off, he will get profit. Everybody involved is gonna get profit, but you're gonna have to watch to find that out. So
it's interesting. Yeah, there's a few storylines going on. Even though this is entirely fictional and was written a while ago, there are some interesting parallels, reflections.
Yes. It is fictional, but, you know, people don't when they write fiction. If they write well, they can tell some, like, real stories about real people. And they change names, you know, from Bo to Joe or Rob to Tob, I don't know. Anyways, what was it? Was it Michael Scott? It was Michael Scarn?
That's right.
Yeah. So there's ways to do that. Either way, the show is compelling. Is very interesting.
There's a lot of unexpected stuff. There were a few times we were like, "Oh, this is totally gonna happen." What the actual heck?
Elaine, what's her name? She played Martha on The Man of Steel.
I know she has a real name, but I just see her as Martha Kent. Sorry.
Anyways. I'm not going to spoil it, so you're going to have to watch it.
Yeah.
It's like an adult show.
Big time.
There's funny situations, but it's very serious.
Definitely drama.
If you're going for laughs, watch Unfrosted. If you want for something serious and compelling, it's short. There's only half a dozen episodes.
Be aware that you will see a man in full.
Yes. That's an interesting point there. Is that what they talked about?
I just thought
about
of that. Yeah, I'm wondering now.
Okay.
Especially with the direction things go. And you know what?
If you read the book, I
was making a dumb pun, but I think I might actually be onto something there.
By the credits, I think the man in full they're talking about is Jeff Daniels, because it's...
Sure.
But if you read the book, apparently, I never read the book, but I heard from people that read the book that the book is much brutal.
Mm.
They get less brutal in the show, but it still gets really
brutal. It's pretty rough.
Anyways, Man in Full, available on Netflix. If you up to watch a series, you could check that one.
In the meantime, Daily Wire Plus has debuted their animated series, Mr. Burcham.
Mr. Burcham, Adam Carolla, written and produced with Ben Shapiro and Jeremy Boring, and other talented producers, with the voices of Rob Riggle was on an episode, Megyn Kelly is a regular, Brett, what's her name, Brett?
I honestly don't know their names.
Brett. Yeah.
Brett's there.
Yeah.
Way to go, Brett. There.
And some
good job.
Talented voices.
It's very much in the style of a Fox animation domination.
Yes.
Obviously, this is on Daily Wire Plus.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a conservative type of humor. I was hoping that there would be some reflective humor, some making fun of themselves. They definitely do that, and it was very entertaining.
Now the world is very, very divided, and some of the shows on broadcast TV pick a side either because they want it or because of pressure of the executives or pressure of their peers. This show would work fine on broadcast TV, I would say, I don't know, 5-10 years ago.
Mm.
Nowadays, you know, because, you know, certain names and certain themes are like the devil. Oh, you cannot talk about this. You cannot touch this because it will trigger people. Because, you know, it's like Anyways, but it's funny. There's two episodes available. They have some funny stuff on Daily Wire these days between this and The Judge.
Oh, not my gosh. Judged.
Judged by Matt Walsh.
That's a funny one.
It's some good laughs. And let's hope they keep bringing... and of course, the movie, the Ballers. Ballers, was that that?
Lady Ballers.
Lady Ballers. Let's hope they keep bringing stuff like that because it expands on their catalog. Soon there's this there's a show to come.
Pendragon Cycle is the one I'm excited about.
But I would assume that's not so focused on being funny, because that's not what the original source material is.
Ew.
Either way, Mr. Burchin started well. It's funny. Roseanne Barr is there too. I forgot about her name. Brett Joplin. Nah, jeez.
I have no idea. Patrick Warburton is supposed to show up at some point.
That's right.
They had a pretty good roundup of characters, and I hope they can keep up the whole let's just make fun of everybody's absurdities.
Brett Cooper.
Because that makes it very watchable. They're not just fine. Lady Ballers, I thought, could have been a lot better, but they were really just like, it was low hanging fruit, a lot of it. This one, I think, is doing a little better. Yeah. I find it a lot more watchable and funny.
Anyways.
Okay. Let's see. Some other TV shows that are now coming to an end. Not dead yet.
It is dead.
It's
it
dead.
Was canceled.
Yeah.
And the finale was. It was okay.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. There, it would have been interesting to see like where this would have gone if maybe her, she started telling her friends that she was talking to ghosts or things like that.
Yeah,
I'm not heartbroken that it's over.
That's so complicated. I mean, the Flash, right?
I know. She needs to lie to protect them.
Yeah, not only that, but the Flash. He was like a solo superhero. Become a Team Flash, so this guy knows, this girl knows, so this guy's gonna move out of town, so someone else will need to know to replace this guy. It's like a gigantic.
So.
It's like...
But where else were they gonna go with it?
I mean, you keep telling your stories without, the half of the planet knowing. It's the whole point of superhero.
And then she's not a superhero. It's a sitcom.
It gets so aggregated that, Team Flash is like, Iris come from time to time. It's like, we are the Flash. It's like, no.
It's because they ran out of stories to tell.
Anyways, but other shows tend to do that. I like that it was her burden. And her gift alone.
I guess so. I guess I'm just trying to think of what else could the show work on, like to progress a story.
I guess if you ask me, I would kill someone close to her that she would not let go. You know.
I guess so. That just makes it so much more serious, though.
Yeah.
I think that would take us out of lighthearted comedy, and into some heavy.
She has a friendly ghost.
Yeah, but if someone dies who's close to her, then everybody else is grieving. That's a lot of complicated emotions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And
I guess everybody
in the second act characters, they had someone. So if Cece dies, she has a kid. Mm-hmm. If the other guy dies, he has a kid too.
The weird lady. You know, there's that shorter lady who always says the completely unhinged things. She's got a recipe for edible body paint that you make in the slow cooker, right? That would be funny if she died and then was a constant presence.
Oh, but the main character would let her go. Like, it would write her off to Iris so quick.
Unless there was some glitch, because she worked for them. I don't know. Something that could
have
been fun.
Either way, we don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it because the show was canceled. So it's bye bye to not dead yet. It's actually dead.
Yep. Young Sheldon is coming to a close, and with that, Annie Potts is saying this might be her last rodeo.
Yeah, the last episode we saw, it was pretty drastic, and the show is coming to an end with, I don't know, sad and redemption? We'll see. It's coming. There's two episodes left. We come back for it when the finale comes. Another one that ended this season. Ended this season. This past week was Animal Control, the new Joel McHale show about animal control officers.
Workplace comedy.
Yeah. Which for me, it's fun. It's fun. It's still fun. It still works.
Yeah.
But I think changing the character drastically.
Yeah, there was a big shift in Joel McHale's character. Yeah.
And it's like, no, come on. If you watch the first episodes and you watch this last one, it's like, what's the alien that kidnapped this guy and replaced him? Because.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, this is
fun. I'm not super mad about it.
Funny people. There's romance. Like, it's very The Office-like.
Mm-hmm.
But with, like, cute, crazy animals from time to time.
Yeah.
We'll see if it survives the cut and comes next season.
I hope so. I enjoyed it. Okay, in the box office, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes made it to $56.5 million.
Which is not absolutely great, but it's definitely not bad. It's definitely beating The Fall Guy 2 weeks in a row.
I mean,
on the first weekend. We'll see this next weekend, but most likely.
Mm-hmm. In the meantime, it looks like we're heading back to the good old days of cable bundles.
Yeah.
With streaming services.
The streaming war. Streaming Wars is becoming the Bundles Wars. A couple big bundles were announced this past days.
So, Comcast is looking at a Peacock, Netflix, Apple TV Plus bundle.
Yeah, and on the Disney side, Disney, Hulu, and Max bundling.
Yeah, which, I mean, that's not bad. Each one of those cover, like, includes a ton of good content.
So, yes, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. Yeah. And, of course, there's, like, Paramount is like people want to buy. There's nothing definitive yet, but there was a rumor before the Peacock and Paramount to merge together, but we'll see who buys and what happens next.
Yep. In the meantime, CNN has announced they are hosting a Biden-Trump debate on June 27th. Okay. Will it actually happen? Who knows?
Well, we'll see.
Steve Buscemi joins a major bummer of a list of people who've been randomly attacked by randos on the streets of New York City.
Yeah, it's not exclusive of, nobodies or everybody. It's like a equality city.
Yes, the great equalizer.
The city of New York is very equal about who gets screwed, who gets hurt, and who suffers. So it's like communism. Yeah. Everybody suffers the same.
But, like, of all the people to get attacked, of all the Hollywood figures, why Steve Buscemi, who's, like, genuinely a nice guy? And who, like, is literally a hero. Like, he was a firefighter who chose, like, nobody asked him to. He chose to walk into the burning buildings on 9/11 and help rescue people. Like, the guy, it just makes me sad.
It's terrible. He's recovering. He had a black eye, but, yeah, full recovery for him. Another mess up with messed up people was Jerry Seinfeld that we mentioned this episode about his new show, his new movie, Unfrosted. He was giving a commencement speech at Duke University in North Carolina. There were some very funny moments, including he is starting to apologize about B movie, but then it's like, no. It's like, anyways. Some students walked out of the graduation
because pro Israeli views.
Because he's a Jew. Which is, it's just so bad, so racist in so many levels. But anyways.
Yeah, but he made it's an interesting commencement speech, worth a look.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed has announced their new game.
It's not about anything he said. It was just people. Anyways.
Yeah.
Assassin's Creed, the new game was announced. It's got Assassin's Creed Shadows. It's going to take place in feudal Japan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's already some controversy surrounded. That's the whole Sweet Baby Ink changing history and pushing agendas, even when they're. The time and the period don't apply. There's like one of the
or when the agenda
characters.
Isn't necessary because like telling a story from feudal Japan.
Yeah, no,
brings
but they
its
don't
own
care.
Kind of diversity
no, the
to the video game.
The director of Sweet Baby Ink, that's pushing these agendas in all sorts of games in the industry. She says she doesn't care if it's historically accurate. She will put a black people as a Viking. As a samurai, as a,
which is what they've done. Nazi. This is a game set in feudal Japan, and the lead character...
Yes.
...is...
One of them. It's actually two.
Oh, okay.
One is a Japanese lady, and the other one is a black guy. Yeah. So it already tarnished the the game when they push for an agenda, not to entertain the gamers, not to, mm-hmm. to give the gamers what the gamers want, but just to push something they want. And it's like, and we're paying for something we want, not something they want.
Yeah, and this feels like a weird place to do it, because Assassin's Creed, like, part of the appeal of the games is, like, the intense historicity of it. Like, you're really there in that moment, living out those stories. And
they did, and they did a black character before in Egypt.
Well, yeah, and there are plenty of other, like, historical moments. Like, I don't know, you could actually tell an African story.
Yeah.
There's that would be cool. Or like with the pirates, there's a lot of room, because
they have a black character in the pirates game.
Yeah, there should be several. That would be quite accurate and, like, actually tell African stories.
Yeah. Anyways,
but who am I to say?
Let's move on. We have a lot more to talk about. And this whole mess with the game industry will only get worse.
Judi Dench has strong words.
Yeah, Judi Dench was going against this. I guess this is a generational, I don't know, preoccupation, cowardness, and about theater, like they do in movies, for old pieces, for controversial, pseudo-controversial pieces. Trigger warning. And she came out to talking against the trigger warnings at the theater. She said, if you are that sensitive, don't go to the theater. Simple like that.
Yeah.
Because she said, and I didn't put the whole thing there, right?
No.
But she says, like, if it's like you go to the theater to be surprised, to be emotional, even to be shocked. If you're not going for that, don't go. Period.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So, I actually got to see her on stage.
Yeah, for what?
When I was in London. She was playing Titania in Much Ado About Nothing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. Because they dressed her as Queen Elizabeth I. It was really cool. Okay. As a queen. Anyway, like, that was their interpretation of the Fairy Queen. It was cool.
Nice.
She's great as an actress. Moving on. Sigourney Weaver might be joining the Mandalorian and Grogu project.
Yeah, more to come, but that seems like it's going to happen.
Downton Abbey is making another movie.
Yeah.
They've been out of story to tell for a while, but they can keep making up cute, wholesome, charming things, and we'll keep watching it because it's cute and wholesome and charming. Okay, some comedy specials coming. One from Ellen DeGeneres, where she promises to talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, if she's gonna apologize that late, it's like, okay. Or she's using that to promote her show. It's like, either way, it's like, okay. Anyway.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see. And Hulu is getting into comedy specials with Jim Gaffigan.
It's the joke of all trades. No, the jack of all trades, right?
Yeah.
He has a special in every streaming service.
That's right.
On Amazon, on Netflix. I'm not sure about HBO, but probably. And now Hulu is going to use him. And he's a guy that, like, most people, if not everybody, loves. So he's funny.
Five children to bring up in New York City. A man's got a hustle. And he's doing a good job.
So Hulu is going to start on specials with the JG.
Sydney Sweeney is working on a Barbarella project.
Yeah, Edgar Wright is in talks to direct. Edgar Wright is very talented. Again, we talked about him before on how the best Ant-Man movie ever made. That was not made. Mm. It was his script. Marvel decided, it's like, oh, this is too good. And I mean, they didn't say that, but they decided to go to the mediocre route of whatever they do. And they decided not to go to the very talented Edgar Wright. But if he's involved, there's good hope that he's going to be close to what Barbarella movie should be.
Okay, Danny DeVito says he's up for playing Wario in the second Super Mario Brothers movie, which is a fun idea, but I think he needs to stay available for Philoctetes in Disney's live-action Hercules, which shouldn't be made. But if it is going to be made, he needs to be available for that role.
I mean, I agree, but I don't know if Disney would do that. But if he does Wario, yeah, we're there to support.
Sure. Yes. Yes. Nicolas Cage. Okay, so a bunch of stuff coming from Amazon. They're doing
They have the upfronts happening this week. Disney, Amazon, Netflix. So a lot of announcements that came from all that. And I don't know. I feel like it's early, but again, it's like almost summer. So anyways, yeah. with stuff that is coming. And that's why.
Okay, so first from Amazon Prime Video, Spider-Man Noir, a live action series.
With Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
So that sounds cool. So we'll see.
It does sound cool. This one I'm less
But it's Amazon. They made Rings of Power.
It's true. They've been really hit or miss. This one I feel like is going to be a miss. A Legally Blonde origin story TV series called Elle. It is coming from Reese Witherspoon, but like, I don't know that I want this.
I don't know.
I feel it's, like Legally Blonde is her origin story.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, I think he's her daughter is old enough to be Elle. But anyways, you don't know. Eh. There's no details. It's just coming.
Yep, they're also working on a Roadhouse sequel.
It felt like the when we watched the Roadhouse, it felt like there was like they might go for sequels. The way they build the whole yeah. thing, it was like not like a fully remake per se. That like beginning, middle, end. Us mm-hmm. in the movie, they would go for more, and they going for more. And Gyllenhaal was great on it, so we'll see.
Yeah. And The Boys is coming back with a season 5 renewal.
Yeah, well, The Boys is spectacular, so we can't wait.
Mm-hmm. They've also talked about a Tomb Raider series.
Oh, yeah. And this one is kind of like, yeah, it's Amazon. And also, some people, I'm not totally agreeing. I might agree a little bit, but the girl that kind of ruined it, Indiana Jones. Five?
That girl did not ruin that movie. The fact that Indiana Jones 5 exists, that ruined the movie. And the writers who split up Indy and Miriam, it was not her fault.
No, she was involved in the writing.
She was involved in the writing?
She was.
Really, really,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel like there are a lot of fanboys out there who are just like, she's a girl and she messed it up.
No, she was involved in the writing. So... and then Amazon decided to give her Tomb Raider, Lara Croft. So I was like, it's Bezos. Is it Amazon's Bezos?
Yeah.
Bezos, Jeff Bezos is like going to spend money. I mean, again, they made Rings of Power, so yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that 90s show is unbelievably coming back for a second season.
Yeah, well, it was Netflix. I guess they got the numbers and they got the money, so they make it more.
I know, but it was so meh.
And Jay and Silent Bob, Kevin Smith and Jason Mills gonna be on season 2.
There's just a weird amount of weed in this show. And
well,
in that 70s show.
70s show.
I know, yeah, in both of them. Like, there's just, there's so much weed. And I feel like Jay and Silent Bob are just gonna bring so much more. Daredevil Born Again gets a 2025 release date.
Okay.
And Only Murders in the Building season 4, it will be coming in August.
August.
The Game of Thrones prequel is coming in 2025. They've already started filming.
Yeah, A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms with Peter Clayfitt set as a Duncan the Tall.
Yes. And Happy Gilmore 2 and a new Kathryn Bigelow film are coming from Netflix.
Again, we talked about Netflix and Jerry Seinfeld. Netflix now with Sandler is going to make a sequel for one of his funniest, greatest movies, Happy Gilmore. So, yeah, we can't wait.
Yeah. And this is my favorite announcement, which is why I put it at the end. A new John Wick spinoff is coming from Lionsgate, and it focuses on Donnie Yen's character, Kane.
Yeah, that sounds very cool. And the way they ended the last John Wick, if you saw, I'm not going to tell you, as like, it could be a direct sequel, but also there's a lot of story that could tell on the prequel.
Oh, yeah. They've introduced so many characters that, and this whole world of like backstory and expanded stories that they can tell.
Yeah.
That they can like step away from like that main line of Keanu Reeves and John Wick himself.
Oh, yeah,
himself,
they're doing the ballerina. Is it ballerina?
Yeah.
Yeah, with Ana de Armas. Mm-hmm. Armas. And yeah, they did the Continental.
Mm-hmm.
There's, the way they build their universe from film one, I was like so impressed. I was like, gosh, this is so cool. It's like what comic books are, or at least what they used to be. You know, they tell a story that has like, it's bigger than what you see. You get details here, details here, details here, and they might come to everything might come to light, or might not, or it might take time, But the way they built John Wick from the beginning was spectacular, and now they capitalizing, they
yeah,
profiting from it and making more, which is really exciting.
Yeah,
nobody, right? The concept of nobody, yes. the movie Nobody. they did a very, very cool, fun job.
Yeah, that was cool.
And yeah, let's hope they make more.
Yeah, with besides the characters they've already introduced, they kind of hinted at an idea of like Continentals existing in other countries.
Oh yeah.
And that like we could do a whole thing with just Hiroyuki Sanada and his Continental. That would be cool. Or like his character's backstory. And then of course Donnie Yen. Like, it's just gonna be fantastic.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And yeah, what else?
That's it.
Okay, so I guess that's it. We come back next week with more. We're gonna finish some shows. A Gentleman in Moscow. Mm-hmm. There's what else are you finishing? Is there anything else you're finishing this week?
Not that I can think of, but I think we're seeing Furiosa next week.
No. Yeah. No, is it 2 weeks?
Are you sure about
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Furiosa. Loot, I don't think Loot's gonna end this week. Franklin's gonna end this week.
Okay.
We're watching Sympathizer. That looks very interesting. The Veil on Netflix. And some other show. Oh, The Dark Matter. We need to start that one. Looks good.
Mm.
And some other things. No, next week, If. Imaginary Friend by John Krasinski.
Yes.
And gigantic cast is out. You're gonna see that. And then in the following week is Furiosa.
Yes.
A Mad Max saga. There's like raising praises everywhere. Everybody is loving it. But it's George Miller, and he's like this. True. This week he was saying, I think Anya Taylor-Joy speaks like 30 lines, which is double of Mel Gibson does on the movie. But he was saying that's like, you know, dialogues hold the movie back. And it's like, yeah, it does. So. Yeah, he's gonna do what he does, and he does it really well.
Yep.
For now, that's it. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and watch us on YouTube. Listen us on everywhere you can listen to podcasts. May the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.